The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 478. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. Well, it's going to be an interesting episode because we're going to tackle a topic that not many people know about. In fact, dare I say it's a little bit of some hidden history, so to speak. I'm talking about my two guests, Jay Caligayan and Dylan Spieg, the gentlemen behind the awesome comic book Messed Comics. Well, they have a new project out and they're sitting down and chatting with me about it. And the subject of this new project is something special. It's something that these guys didn't really know too much about. Their new project is the untold story of the Filipino assassin Vincent Manago Hambright. Vincent was a very accomplished boxer from the 1920s and 30s that is a resident of Cincinnati. And so through hearing about Vincent through James Tecco, who is a local historian, Jay heard about the tale and took it to Dylan and said, I think we can make a comic out of this. And again, the three of them, Dylan, James, and Jay, put together a really cool book highlighting the history of this kind of unknown superstar in the world of boxing. In fact, this book kind of reminds me of Chris Bourne and his Lady Wrestler movie that I've had Chris on the show many times talking about it. You know, again, it's about wrestlers that I didn't know anything about, and I'm a huge wrestling nerd, and how impactful they were. So again, going back to the Filipino assassin, that's what both Jay, James, and Dylan are both, all three of them trying to do, is to paint a very interesting picture about a very interesting person who unfortunately has kind of, dare I say, be pushed off into the shadows, so to speak. So we also are going to talk a little bit about Messed as well and a few other things. So I want to get to our conversation real quickly. But before I do, I need to thank a great sponsor of this show. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, and they have tons of comics from every era. Golden, silver, bronze, modern. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, various other collectibles. I mean, I told you a couple weeks ago about the cool Mad magazine they have behind the counter. Well, they got primo stuff that you need to see. So you need to hurry up and get up to the store. Once again, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But you can also check them out online. Their web address is wgcomics.com, and you can find them on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. And I want to give more props and more love to the store because I have appreciated their support throughout the years. Thank you so very much to everybody at World's Greatest Comics. All right, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear me talk with Jay and Dylan about the untold story of the Filipino assassin, Vincent Manago Hambright. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm joined this evening by two gentlemen who have a new project that they want to talk about. And you know what? I'm going to hold off on what the title is and whatnot, because I just would like to say welcome to the PVD Cast, Dylan Spieg. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
And friend of the show, Jay Caligayan. Jay, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having us on again.
Oh, you're welcome. Look, I got to be honest. When you sent the press release out that you had a new project, the name itself made me go, huh? We're talking about a new graphic comic called The Filipino Assassin, Vincent Managho Hambright.
That's right. That's right. Filipino Assassin, The Untold Story of Vincent Managho Hambright. That is right.
Well, let's go ahead and start by letting the listeners know just maybe a little bit of the backstory of Vincent.
Well, real quick, the synopsis that we have been using is late 1920s. Vincent Managho Hambright, Filipino assassin, boxes his way through fame in the Midwest. So this graphic comic book that we've done charts his rise in boxing, military service, and a tragic death in 1946. Kind of just highlighting the struggles of Filipino Americans, Asian Americans against racial prejudice.
So with Vincent, was he, I assume he migrated here, or was his parents came over and he was born here in the United States, or how did that work in terms of his background?
So his dad from the United States was serving in the military and started a family in the Philippines. And Vincent was born in Cebu City and came over for his father brought him back to the United States. And that's where he served high school and then wanted to do his boxing career because he was boxing a little bit when he was a teen in the Philippines. And came to Cincinnati because Cincinnati had a pretty thriving boxing scene.
Is boxing a big deal? Is it the Philippines? Is that their pride and joy when it comes to sports?
So I did some research on my own about that. And it was the Americans that brought boxing over.
Okay.
But it was the military. And it was definitely something that has grown. And I think a certain world champion, Manny Pacquiao, kind of is the pinnacle of Filipinos boxing. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I, like I said, I wasn't sure because, when you think of wrestling, Iran happens to be one of those countries that really specialize on that.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that there are regular boxing going on, and he's probably one of the most prominent athletes that we have is Manny Pacquiao.
So, Dylan, how did you get involved in the project?
Jay had, I guess he'd seen James do a presentation on the boxer, and then Jay was like, ooh, this would make a good, graphic novel. So Jay wrote it out and did all the work. And then they brought the story to me. And I mean, the story is pretty good. I mean, it's got like murder and boxing. And I mean, I'm not saying that's good, but I mean, the story's kind of got it all. They really lobbed me.
And not in that order. Not in that order.
Yeah. Not in that order. But I mean, he goes to war. I mean, it's a pretty good story. So Jay came to me and he said, can we turn this around in about, I think we had 3 months, but I think we really turned it around in about two. And just from doing like storyboards for TV commercials and just doing like turnaround is like kind of my specialty. I can turn things around pretty quick.
Dylan
because we do a comic already.
We have a great shorthand between each other because we've been working the last 9 years on Mest Comics. So
yeah,
there was only Dylan could turn it around in those 2 months, honestly.
Yeah, and we did. Also, I'll do like what I generally do is I'll do the whole comic book and stick figures, send it to Jay and say, this is kind of how I see it laid out. And then we just start plowing through it. And then, I wasn't used to having somebody like James was like a historian looking over the accuracy of the stuff. So that was kind of a challenge. But at the same time, I mean, I'd rather have him tell me than find out that, after we've printed 1,000 copies that I did something wrong. So, I mean, it was different because I had not had to think about that, the historical accuracy before in a graphic novel. But it was definitely a challenge. But I think luckily for Jay, I didn't have a lot going on. So like I was able to just sit down and draw it like a full time job. So that actually it helped pretty, it helped us to get it done in a short time.
Yeah, and Dylan talked about it, right? I watched a presentation that James Tecco did less than a year ago about this boxer. And, I've been in Cincinnati 20-some years, And then I was next to my buddy, Billy, who lived in Cincinnati all his life. He's Filipino as well. And we had never, ever heard of this this athlete. So I talked to, Dylan had it right. I talked to James, talked about the possibility of a comic book. But what really jump-started it is I applied to ArtsWave. They're one of the arts supporting organizations here in Cincinnati. And they provided a grant, a Black and Brown artist grant, to us to do the comic book. So that really just provided the funds and the jumpstart necessary for us to turn it around so fast. Usually with Mest, it takes about to do that many pages for Mest, it takes about a year. And that's because it's not our full-time jobs. So yeah. Like, you know, we're trying to do other things, selling the other books, you know, that kind of thing. So the fact that we were able to, I pretty much Christmas for me was finishing the script, working on and finishing the script. Then Dylan had January and February to do the pages. And that, and for regular comic creators, like who do it full time, that's usual hat in hand. But for us, I mean, that was a really good turnaround.
And I think it turned, it's not like, I mean, it was quick, but I mean, we had enough time. We got enough money that we had the time. So I spent, you know, 10 hours a day on it. So, I mean, we definitely put the work in. So it wasn't like we did it half ass. It was just, it was exciting that we had a short amount of time. So I just had to hunker down and just do it, you know, like it was my job, which it was. So.
And it was our first time doing a historic figure, an actual a person that existed, as opposed to our sewer science fiction with Mest.
Yeah, so it was easier almost.
It was easier, you think, with a historic? Because you had...
because I had pictures of an actual guy. So, like, you know... and, you know, I mean, so I wasn't, like, really having to make up too much stuff or anything like that. And I went... some of the locations are still around, so I was able to, like, find the locations and stuff. So some of the guesswork was taken out of it.
So, Dylan, did you have to change your style? Since we're talking about, you know, turnaround and getting the book out and... you know, a new genre for you. Did you have to change your style a lot or maybe just a little bit or?
No, but I mean, it's kind of because I'm a freelance illustrator, I have to change my styles a lot on it. So I actually asked Jay, I was like, is it okay if I look, I'd just seen a historical graphic novel that was based on the formation of Texas, but it was from the Mexican point of view. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of modeled it. I thought it had a good black and white cool look to it. So, I mean, I can do lots of different styles just because I'm a freelance artist, I have to be able to, if somebody asked me for something, I was like, I could try. So I had something in mind, but it wasn't hard for me to you know, do it really. I was like, a lot of it's just me finding reference photos and drawing it. So I did it all just black and white, and it's pretty, it messed as black and white, so it wasn't that big of a jump.
Yeah, so we I think for our challenges, it was my first time writing a script in a spreadsheet format, and the reason for that is the top two panels in the book, as you flip through, is one timeline, while the bottom panel is the boxing timeline. It's just the boxing career. And Dylan has done a brilliant job where the top and middle panels have this like brightness to it, depending upon what we're talking about, while like the bottom panel is a boxing ring with like the shadows and just like just really a lot of black panels, and while the boxers just kind of shine through as they would with any lighting in any boxing ring, and the crowd as well. Yeah.
I'm going to go back to what you said, Jay, a few minutes ago. You said that you did not even know anything about this story. You didn't even know. It wasn't even on your radar. And I got to say that when I was doing the research and I was looking at what you guys had posted, this reminds me a lot, if I can make the comparison, to Columbus filmmaker Chris Bourne, who found the first African-American female pro wrestlers were here from Columbus. And it's something that the people that know me know that I'm a wrestling nerd, and I didn't know that stuff. So, I mean, I got to imagine that maybe had those same types of feelings for you, Jay. Like you discovered, like, I don't know, you, the lost ark, if you will. Like, it's got to be like that big, right?
Well, I mean, in my mind, as I was growing up, I didn't really think that a lot of Filipinos came to America until post-World War II. So to almost find myself in history, to see myself in history, knowing that there was not only Filipinos in Cincinnati in the 1920s, but a prominent Filipino athlete, really just regularly in the papers, having a nice fan base, being, they called him a knockout artist, they called him the Filipino assassin, the Inquirer called him the Filipino assassin. So like to see that there were Filipinos here and prominent, it was such, such a thrill. Just really, it's just a thrill to see that the city has that, and to find these hidden histories, I think is so important. And James, our public historian that we worked with on the book, whose work was essential to putting this book together, he'd been really, his focus is trying to bring about a spotlight on the Asian citizens, the Asian history that occurred in the Midwest and in Cincinnati. So in his research, Vincent Mago Hambright kept popping up. And so he started putting it all together, and he did that lecture. He's probably working on it for about 2 years off and on.
So yeah. What is James' background, if I could ask real quick? Like, is he at UC, or is he just a historian kind of out there on his own, freelancing, if you will?
I love James. He is a great photographer. I think he went to DAP. He works in nonprofits, doing a lot of great human service organizations. And finally, I think this is his second or third career where he wants to be a public historian, and he's dedicating a lot of time bringing about a nice spotlight on hidden history.
Okay, cool. Dylan, did you say something? Or wanted to say something? I cut you off.
I thought he did a great job on it, and I mean, I was more than happy to be brought on board. To, you know, I'll ride these guys' coattails all the way. So I felt like Jay and James did all the work. I mean, for me, I was just like, I just didn't want them to throw me this great ball and drop it at the last minute, you know. And I definitely understood how they felt it. I mean, because I had never heard about it either. And my mom is like a researcher and really into history too. So I was like, what? I did not know that. So I was, you know, you find out stuff like that all the time. I went to the Art Academy of Cincinnati, you know, and we would hear about like artists all the time. And the, you know, the one guy does like the ladybugs, you know, the, you know what artists I'm talking about, Jay,
Charlie Harper?
Yeah, Charlie Harper. All we heard about was Charlie Harper. And I'm at this like part, I was in a party one time, it's like 15 years after I graduated from college. And, you know, I'm not really that into ladybugs and geometric animals, but, you know, I thought it was cool. And then I was at this party and I was looking through a book and it said The Art of Jim Flora. And he did all the illustrations for the jazz era, you know, covers for Columbia Records. And I was like, wow, this guy's stuff is awesome. And then I was like, I wonder where he went to school. He went to my school. Never heard of him the entire time I was there. I went back to the school. I was like, why were you telling us about this guy doing like little kids magnets and stuff like that? And I could have been listening to Jazz Man over here doing this cool stuff. I was so mad about it just because I was like, wow, apparently two artists went to my college. So I was really blown away by that. So I have that. I love finding out new things. And, you know, so I was happy to be brought on board to kind of help bring it to life.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Dylan and Jay for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book-related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, comic book supplies, you name it, they got it. So, you need to check out the store if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. You can also find them online. WGComics.com is their web address, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. Well, can we talk a little bit about the debut of the book? Because it debuted a couple of weeks ago, correct, at a festival?
Yeah, well, down in Cincinnati, we have Asian Food Fest, and it's about 80,000 to 100,000 people come to Court Street downtown. And we had our banner set up. People were getting selfies with our new banner, the Filipino Assassin. And definitely when you call something Filipino Assassin, people will stop by the booth and go, what is this? It was a great debut. We sold like 70 books. People were just so excited. Not just Filipinos. And what's nice about Asian Food Fest is we get a lot of regional people coming from the Dayton area, from Indiana, from Kentucky. Like they will come from different areas to celebrate Asian culture and obviously Asian food. But I'm really trying to build up because I've been attending for years now. And this is one of my first, while MEST has a strong character who happens to be Asian, this is one of our first things delving into the Cincinnati history with the Filipino box.
It's literally called Filipino Assassin. So, I mean, you can't, I mean, it's checking all the boxes. Although it could be about somebody who only kills Filipinos. So that would be scary.
My God.
It's definitely a Filipino, not the assassin of Filipinos.
And that's kind of why we were talking about the different timelines on the page is almost like a part of the kid in me, but also just the art of the sweet science of pugilism boxing, having just fights on every page. There's a restaurant called La Rosa's here in Cincinnati and Columbus, La Rosa's. And he boxed Tony La Rosa and beat him in a 10-round decision. So he has a place in history. We have a lot of great, well-known boxers here in Cincinnati. Ezra Charles.
Yeah.
So I want to really bring up, Vincent Mago Hambright as someone that needs to be honored here in Cincinnati.
Have you gotten any feedback from people who have picked up the book so far? And you said that many people were very curious and very excited for it when you were at Asian Food Fest. But have you heard anything from those folks that picked up the book and said, great job, guys, et cetera, et cetera?
I've heard from some people, they say it changed their lives. It got them off methamphetamines. I'm just kidding. I don't know. No, but we've heard a lot of great feedback. Because Dylan finished the book so fast, we got to get Quinto Comics gave us some quotes. David Mack, world-renowned artist David Mack is from Cincinnati. He went to school in Northern Kentucky. He gave us some great feedback. Bong Radilla. So we got a lot of great artists and our peers giving us feedback there. As far as
Cincinnati, my mom loved it. My mom was
Dylan's mom. Dylan's mom. My mom hasn't read it yet. I will get her to read.
I've heard that Dylan's mom is a very strict proofreader. She's hardcore.
Oh yeah, she'll let us know. She'll let us know her opinion.
She would. Yeah, actually, unfortunately, she would do that. So,
but I think the people we were talking to were just shocked, just like I was. They did not know about this. And while I love James's lecture, I think that hidden histories need to come in different forms, whether it's a lecture live, whether it's an audio presentation, a TED talk, a comic book, a book. Just like I feel like different forms can really help put different spotlights on hidden history.
I agree.
Would you guys do another historical project in the future?
Well, because we have such a great relationship with James. We would definitely be interested in that in the future. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you'd be embarrassed to know me if you knew what I would do for another whole comic book. Sure.
Sure.
I also draw storyboards for secret commercials for antiperspirant. So yeah, doing this was great because it was artistic, which I love. I'm a history nerd. And also I was doing it with Jay. So me and Jay have a really good work flow, so I don't have to worry about too much stuff. So yeah, I would love, I mean, if that was my full-time job, me and Jay telling different tragic stories, I would do it. We just call it dark history. And I was like, kids, we're gonna go dark on this one.
We could say brown history if you want.
I like stories that tell it all, I think that it's always great.
James, his organization, Heritage Cincinnati, they're really trying to put that spotlight. So he's working on several different presentations about different historic figures here in Cincinnati. So we would love to maybe see what else might be worth a comic book.
Yeah, because I don't want it. I want it to definitely be historic. Bad things happen instead of being like, hopefully it's not the last hate crime. You know, like we don't want it to be like we're wishing it on. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff that we can uncover where we'd be like, oh, that's messed up. So I think that it's definitely a fun process to go through. But I think it keeps me sharp and I like doing it because by the time I'm sick of the project, we're done with it. So and I'm ready to do the next one.
Dylan did bring it up. I mean, we were talking about the tragic death, and it's in as they read the story, I don't think it's revealing too much, but basically it's he was the tragic. He came back to Cincinnati after serving in World War II with the Navy Seabees and was a victim of one of Cincinnati's first documented Asian hate crimes.
Oh, okay.
And right. So there was a trial, and I mean, I'll let you read the book, but like, yeah, basically Arnold Spivey is the guy that killed him. He got off.
Well, where can folks go to get copies of the book?
You can go online at Messed Comics, MESSEDComics.com. And there's a big old banner there that you can click on, and you can see some preview pages, and you can order the book. We also have a lot of happenings where we're going to different areas around the region. So we'll be at the Columbus Book Festival in July. We'll be at Tidewater Comic Con in Virginia Beach, Heroes Con in June, and Cincinnati Comic Expo back here in October. So check out our website. We're going around. Come and meet us. Get some signed books. Or just order the book on our website and we'll send it to you.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about Messed Comics. You've mentioned it many, many times. What's the status, man? What's going on with that project?
We've been working on Messed for like 9 years and we have four. So, that's a long time.
Yeah. We have four seasons of it. I mean, it's definitely, I think OJ, like maybe five more pages and then we have another one that'll be ready to go.
We've been a little busy with this project, but yeah, Dylan's absolutely right. We're on volume four. Chapter one came out, which was a Lilliput focus. Lilliput is a super worker. And then the second chapter focuses on Sandshell, and it is action. That one's action packed. That one's And so, Dylan just has a couple more pages. We're playing with the nine panel page with the dialogue, and sometimes Dylan and I work together. I'll put it on the script, and he'll call me and he'll be like, "Are you serious?" And I was like, "Nine panels," and I'm like, "Well, no, just try it." I mean, because like there's no background to it. It's just talking heads, you know, that kind of thing. Just trying to get all this dialogue out of the way so we can get to the action.
I mean, it's definitely fun. I mean, we've been working together long enough that I'm like, dude, this is killing me, or like, you know, but you know, sometimes what is hard isn't hard and what is easy isn't easy, so it's you never really know. But I definitely think that this will be it's gotten better and better as it goes. So, you know, I think that we've definitely expanded the universe and people really respond well to it.
Yeah. And I'm glad we had these years to, you know, we have our other jobs, but we're really trying to build this brand and build this company. And so like having Messed as the flagship and having four volumes in and how many years in, I think before we start expanding out into our history books with Filipino Assassin and our Cryptid Corner, I think has been a great opportunity to just build a nice fan base.
Yeah, and it is funny that when we're working at the booth and somebody's like, "So what's the first issue?" I'm like, "First, God," because we've done so much since then. I was like, "Oh, that is old timey." Just because I feel like we've gotten so much better that I was like, "Oh, I'm such a hack back then." Like I'm like, you know, because we were still kind of that first issue. We're kind of figuring it out. I mean, it looks cool and everything, but it's like, That is the funny part to me. I want everybody to just see the whole thing because we've gone so far and like you've developed such a good story and like it kind of ramps up a little bit more in the second season. So, you know, that's the only thing that I'm always like, oh, I want them to just read all of it.
And we get that. I love when we're at Comic Cons or craft shows, or we were just at a sewer convention, WetCon, the Wastewater Equipment Treatment and Transport Show out of Indianapolis. It was freezing because it was February. And this guy walks up to us and he's like, I'll take it all.
And yeah, he wanted one of everything. I was like, hell.
And
yeah.
I was like, done. We love that. Because there's a lot to it. There's a lot of people. We respect all these creators that have their, you know, first or second issue. But I mean, again, we're on volume four. We have two trades. We have our third season, and we've just started the fourth. So yeah, it's nice. It's nice when someone wants to have that whole experience.
Yes. Whew, that was great. Also, it's nice to be the only comic book someplace.
I was just so we don't have to
compete with, like, you know, Leaf Guard America and stuff like that. And I was like, what?
I hope, yeah, I do hope Toxic Avenger doesn't try to crash the WetCon.
when we first went to the very first Comic Con, because Jay had been to a lot of them and I had not been to it until I had a comic book in there. And I remember when I saw how many people were drawing just copyrighted material, it blew my mind, because it would be like, because you know, coming from a music background, they would never be like, all I do is just record Beatles songs. No one said anything about it yet. You know, I mean, like they would just, ASCAP would shut the whole thing down. You know, like if I do a cover song and put it on YouTube, they have an algorithm. They can tell that I've recorded copyrighted material. So when I went somewhere and they're like, yeah, all I do is just draw zombie versions of Marvel characters. I was like, no one's shutting this down. But I just could not believe that. I was like, what a bunch of hacks. I was like, blew me away. It's like cover songs but for art. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I mean, I'm not mad at them, because I was like, well, why are we?
No, and I would say a lot of these artists, the artwork is fantastic, but yeah, they are it is that gray area of copyrighted characters.
I just think that the comic books don't want to do like what Metallica did with Napster and like go against the fans. I think, to me, I feel like if you did it and it started getting too big, they'd probably come after you. But I feel like if the fans are out there, they're probably like, let's not shake this up, because, I mean, that's their whole base. You know, you don't want to go against that.
I would say it is hard to be an original IP, original character, original comic in rows and rows of other comic creators who are doing characters that happen to have huge marketing budgets behind them. You know, if they do a Marvel character or a manga character, that is reinforced by all their advertising. So yeah, it is difficult sometimes. So we do appreciate when people want to try an original book, want to try an original story, you know, that kind of thing. We really do appreciate that.
Yeah.
And that certainly is accurate when you talk about Mask, because it is one of the most unique comics I've ever laid eyes on. And for those of you that are like, I want to know more about it, well, you can head on over to the archives of PVDcast. I believe, if I remember correctly, January of 2021, these two gentlemen talked to me about it. But you know what? You can also check it out at their website, which, what is your website again, Jay?
Messed Comics, M-E-S-S-E-D comics.com. We have digital versions of season 1, 2, and 3 for free. So you can check out that. And then you can find us or order the books and get some autographed books.
Dylan, real quickly, I know that you are a big music guy, as you just said. Are you still playing around town?
Yeah, I play in a band, Heavy Hinges, and we're playing at the Crow's Nest and over on the west side at the end of the month. And yeah, we still play a lot. So, you know, you just check us out at, you know, Heavy Hinges on all the socials.
Also, Dylan's got a lot of animated shorts that are on the festival circuit right now.
Yeah, I got I do a lot of animation. So yeah, my IMDb page says I've won 19 awards, but been nominated for 26. So I was like, I was very excited about that. So that's I had to, once AI came in and knocked out some of the storyboard work, I had to pivot over to animation. So that's definitely been great for me, because it's still drawing. I'll just figure out a way, wherever there's somebody needs some sort of drawing, I will figure out a way to get in there. So that's what I've been up to.
Okay, sweet. All right, guys, let's run down social media, maybe appearances. We already hit the website once before, if you want to hit it again, just so people know where to go when they want to check out the Filipino Assassin or Mest Comics or any of the cool things you guys got going on.
All of it is at Mest Comics, MESSEDComics.com. All the social media, Instagram, Blue Sky, and Facebook is Mest Comics.
All right, Dylan, do you have any social medias for Heavy Hinges or anything?
Yeah, we got Heavy Hinges, and then just check me out on Instagram at Dylan Spieg.
Okay. All right, guys. It's been fun sitting down and chatting with you, and definitely got a hit on your hands with Filipino Assassin and keeping Mess Comics going strong as well. So it's great to talk to you guys, and thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. See you later.
Thank you.
All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Jay and Dylan, the guys from Mest Comics, talking about their new project, The Untold Story of the Filipino Assassin, Vincent Minalgo Hambright. So also follow these guys on their social media so you can keep up with all the cool stuff they got going on with their various different projects. All right, now it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. Well, first, you can find me on Twitter. That's right, I'm still on that cesspool. Anyways, you can find me on my personal handle of @PVDMVP. I really didn't mean to make myself chuckle on that one. But anyways, you can also drop me a line on the Facebook, Instagram, and Threads accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And if you want to be old school and shoot me an email, you can do that too. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is the email address. And now maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues where it's available to you. First and foremost, it's available at pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But it's also available through all those major podcasting apps and outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite app or outlet, go to the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you do listen through one of those apps or one of those outlets, please rate and review. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it helps those companies that own those outlets know that you're listening to the PVDcast. And if you want to go one step farther, all you got to do is, of course, subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. But wait, there's one more avenue that you have for listening to every single episode, and it's fairly simple. You just go over to the Facebook page at PVDcast. On Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and you can catch the recent episode being played in a live broadcast format. So again, that's three different ways that you can listen to the PVDcast. That's PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, through your favorite podcasting outlet or app such as Spotify or Google Podcasts, and of course, the live broadcast every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.